Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Thirteenth day of the session, Thursday, January 26, 2017. Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Excused.
Barlow.
Here.
Biteman.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bovee. Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Excused.
Bird. Bird. No. Clausen.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Court.
Here.
Crank.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Air.
Here.
Flitner.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Furphy.
Here.
Garou.
Here.
Gray.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Haley.
Here.
Hallinan.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Henderson. Hunt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Kenner.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Larson Lloyd.
Excused.
Excused. Larson Dan.
Here.
Lindholm.
Here.
Lone.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim. Excused.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Nicholas.
Excused.
Excused. Northrup.
Here.
Obermuller.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Paxton. Pelkey.
Pieperinen.
Pannell.
Here.
Salazar.
Here.
Schwartz.
Excused.
Excused. Summers.
Excused.
Steinmetz.
Here.
Sweeney.
Here.
Walters.
Excused.
Excused. Wilson.
Excused.
Excused. Winters.
Zwanitzer.
Here. Mr. Speaker.
Here.
We have 51 present, 9 excused.
Thank you, Madam Chief Clerk, and I'll just remind members and the public listening in that our Appropriations Committee is off the floor still working while they're on the excuse list. Members, if you'd please stand, and we'll be led in today's prayer again by Reverend Laura Rainwater of Grace United Methodist Church here right here in Cheyenne.
As we gather here this morning, let us begin with a moment of silent prayer. Gracious Lord, today we pray for all who work to bring about a just world. As the prophet Isaiah challenged us, let us learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. May all of us who care for the people of Wyoming have hearts and minds to use wisdom and unity in the Spirit to bring about a just world. Bless our leaders, encourage them when the work seems too large to accomplish, and give us all energy to do the work before us. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God.
Okay, members, House will come to order. We're at that order of business of journal committee reports.
January 25th, 2017. Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of January 25th, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Representative Gray and Representative Garou.
Thank you. The doctor of the day is Dr. Bailey, and our nurse of the day is Chris Luffelbein, and they are both from Cheyenne. Thank you. Welcome to the House. Members, I had just a quick couple announcements. I think it's distributed in your mailbox about bill cutoff date next Monday. Just wanted to remind everybody of that deadline that is fast approaching. And members, distributed yesterday in your box was information on the Capitol Square project as well as an offer for legislative tours. And I think there's three or four dates set up. I've asked staff to also circulate that electronically, so you should be getting an email this morning. I believe there was a tour this morning. Was there any members? Yeah. Representative Laux? Representative Laux, can you maybe, you want to maybe just take a little privilege of the floor and talk about what happened so we all kind of know what to expect? Thank you.
With pleasure, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, I was able to go over there this morning and Wendy gave us a tour, and it was just incredible. You know, you look at the drawings and stuff you have in the handbook, and it's like, okay. But then you go over there and see how massive this construction project is. And the neatest thing is when you go through there and see now they've uncovered a lot of those areas that had been covered up over the years with the archways and the brickwork, and even there's in one room where they found up in the ceiling they used boards that have been used somewhere else, and there's posters from an opera from the 1890 when there was an opera house in Cheyenne. It was just those neat little things they find after they start tearing walls down. You need to get over there. It's just it gives you goosebumps. It's incredible. So take the time and get over there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Laux. And so Pages will be circulating those invites and tour dates, and we'll set up more to accommodate. We want folks to be fully informed on the process and have an up-close view of it. Okay, we are at that order of business now of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 232.
House Bill 232, introduced by Representative Baker, Drugs and Substances Control.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to controlled substances.
House Bill 232 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 237.
House Bill 237, introduced by Appropriations, Community College Capital Construction.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to community college facilities.
House Bill 237 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 245.
House Bill 245, introduced by Representative Lone, Human Trafficking and Child Exploitation Prevention.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health and safety.
House Bill 245 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. We're going to pause for a minute. We've had a battery go out on our reading mic. We'll just pause. Okay, fresh battery. Now we're on our next bill for our consideration is House Bill 234.
House Bill 234, introduced by Representative Miller. Airport support.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to local sales tax.
House Bill 234 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue.
House Bill 242.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 242.
House Bill 242, introduced by Representative Barlow. Ad valorem tax, liens, and mineral production.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue.
House Bill 242 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 243.
House Bill 243, introduced by House Revenue, School Finance, Capital Construction Funding.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school finance.
House Bill 243 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 235.
House Bill 235, introduced by Representative Miller, Mentor Small Game and Game Bird Hunting.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 235 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 241.
House Bill 241, introduced by Representative Barlow, Background Checks, Interstate Compacts.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal history records.
House Bill 241 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 248.
House Bill 248, introduced by Representative Zwanitzer, Select Committee on Elections.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections.
House Bill 248 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 203.
House Bill 203, introduced by Representative Hunt, Scope of Pipeline Easements.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to property.
House Bill 203 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 216.
House Bill 216, introduced by Representative Blackburn, Sexual Assault Custody Rights.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to child custody and visitation.
House Bill 216 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 238.
House Bill 238, introduced by Representative Connolly, Nude Image of a Minor Disseminated or Possessed by a Minor.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses.
House Bill 238 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 240.
House Bill 240, introduced by Representative Halverson, Death Penalty Repeal.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses and criminal procedures.
House Bill 240 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 249.
House Bill 249, introduced by Representative Zwanitzer, Carbon Sequestration Pore Space Utilization.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to property rights and liabilities.
House Bill 249 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 207.
House Bill 207, introduced by Representative Jennings, Restrictions on Public Benefits.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public benefits.
House Bill 207 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 250.
House Bill 250, introduced by Representative Wilson, Public Health Statutory Amendments.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health.
House Bill 250 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 8.
House Joint Resolution 8, introduced by Representative Allen, Federal Responsibility for American Indian Health Care.
First reading of the resolution.
A joint resolution requesting Congress to uphold the federal trust responsibility to provide for the health care needs of American Indians.
House Joint Resolution 8 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We're We're on that order of business of reports from standing committees.
House Bill 165, introduced by Representative Barlow, Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine Practice Act, an act relating to professions and occupations. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 165, Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine Practice Act, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters. Noes, Representative Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. House Bill 190, introduced by Representative Harshman, Hathaway Reserve Account, an act relating to higher education and public funds. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 190, Hathaway Reserve Account, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kenner, Northrup, Paxton, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Northrup, Chairman. House Bill 118, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, introduced by Representative Walters. Excuse me. House Bill 118, introduced Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, an act relating to water. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 118, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Clausen, Gray, Haley, Henderson, Hunt, Lauren, Steinmetz, excused, Representative McKim. Signed, Representative Hunt, Vice Chairman. House Bill 123, introduced by Representative Greer, Probate Estates of Non-Residents, an act relating to probate. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 123, Probate Estates of Non-Residents, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, Laux, excused, Representative Clausen. Signed, Representative Laux, Vice Chairman. House Bill 211, introduced by Representative Larson, Developmental Preschool Payment Calculations Amendments, an act relating to developmental preschool funding. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 211, Developmental Preschool Payment Calculations Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Garrew, Hallinan, McGuire, and Sweeney. Noes, Representative Lone. Excused, Representative Halverson. Signed, Representative Clem, Chairman.
We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 24.
House Bill 24, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, Water Commission Duties, an act relating to water.
Thank you. We have an amendment. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Kind of jumped the gun on this one. We'll have a third reading amendment, so I withdraw second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 24.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 24 has been withdrawn. House Bill 24, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 40.
House Bill 40, introduced by Statewide Education. Education Accountability, an act relating to education accountability.
We have amendments. We have an amendment. I have an amendment. Representative Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 40, and I will explain the amendment. So if we go into page 22, line 16, and this was a discussion that occurred over the interim, and frankly, at the end of the meeting in the interim, we were having this debate and we needed to get this bill out, and we really didn't get all the recommendations that were coming into us. And this was one of the recommendations. Rather than, and simply what this amendment does is if you look on that line on line 16, it changes the and to an or. So what it allows is the development of this readiness indicator. So once again, remember in our accountability model, we have like four major indicators. We have achievement, we have growth, we have equity. You know, we're equity, I don't want to belabor it, but equity kind of looks at the bottom part of the achievement piece. So those students that are not really doing well, we want to make sure that they're still growing. And then we have readiness, because readiness really involves your high school students and whether they're ready for post-secondary life. And so in the past, it's been really post-secondary education, and we want to make sure that includes other issues. So what this does is go in and says that college readiness is measured by a standard college entrance examination administered pursuant to whatever in grade 11 and other college readiness indicators as determined by the State Board of Education, or career readiness, and then following an amendment we had the other day, as determined by the State Board of Education. So what this really is saying that is okay, we're going to take a look, and if I can get everybody kind of that's around me to be somewhat quiet. So what this is saying is, so you often in high school have kids on different track. And so what we want to ensure is that those kids that perhaps are your CTE kids and going in, you know, going to go straight into the workforce, that when we do this readiness indicator, we're taking into account those kids that are both going into a career track and those kids that are going into a post-secondary track. And so what this would do, rather than and, it is an or, so they can develop it for either or of those scenarios. And so coming out of the interim, this was in the interim, we heard this suggestion, and I'm bringing that forth, and perhaps the good chair of education will help me out on this as well. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I understand the amendment, but when you go back up to the top of page 22, it says the State Board of Education with results aggregated at the school level according to deliberative methods shall include, and then you've got either college readiness or career readiness, and I think the explanation was given as an individual student that could be one or the other, but how do you look at that at an aggregated level? And also I think that the language, the syntax and stuff doesn't make sense in the upper, but that's outside the realm of this amendment. But what I'm trying to get at is I don't understand how you can have one or the other at the school, aggregated at the school level.
Any other members for the first time? Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In going back and looking at the accountability report, that is what the report says. It's like on page 10 or 11 that they are requesting or instead of and. And apparently when this was typed up, that this is how they would prefer to have it when they typed it up. So we're changing it back to the accountability booklet. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time, for their second time before the sponsor? Anyone else? Okay, we're on to the sponsor, Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And understand that in this accountability thing, this is what we're putting in statute, that we want this, or this is still being fleshed out. So obviously, if, you know, we, those of you that have been here a while, this evolves over time, and hopefully we come to a final agreement. But this career, this idea of career and college readiness and how it needs to integrate is really being studied hard right now. And right now, this is the recommendation out of the group that came to us to do this. So I would just encourage you to do this. I would agree with the good chair of revenue that the wording is not clear, and hopefully we can work on that a little bit. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 40. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That amendment has been adopted. House Bill 40, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 84.
House Bill 84, introduced by Representative Barlow. Workers' Compensation, Delinquent Employers. An act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 84, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 91.
House Bill 91, introduced by Representative Loan. Alimony termination. An act relating to domestic relations.
House Bill 91, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 98.
House Bill 98, introduced by Representative Greer, LLC Dissolution Distributions, an act relating to limited liability companies.
House Bill 98, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 111.
House Bill 111, introduced by Representative Barlow, County Collective Accounts. An act relating to workers' compensation.
House Bill 111, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114.
House Bill 114, introduced by Representative Brown, Service and Assistance Animals. An act relating to service and assistance animals.
House Bill 114, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 117.
House Bill 117, introduced by Representative Steinmetz, Operation of Motorboat While Intoxicated, an act relating to watercraft.
House Bill 117, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 120.
House Bill 120, introduced by Representative Summers, Maximum Speed Limit Petition, an act relating to the regulation of motor vehicles on highways.
House Bill 120, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 152.
House Bill 152, introduced by Representative Lindholm. Search and Rescue Operations, an act relating to search and rescue operations.
House Bill 152, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 153.
House Bill 153, introduced by Representative Jennings, Parental Rights, an act relating to parents.
House Bill 153, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 161.
House Bill 161, introduced by Representative Pelkey, Divorce, Residency, an act relating to domestic relations.
House Bill 161, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 171.
House Bill 171, introduced by Representative Barlow, Unemployment Insurance, Delinquency Contributions, an act relating to unemployment compensation.
House Bill 171, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 28, House Bill 29, House Bill 44, House Bill 52, House Bill 65, and House Bill 75. Please note that House Bill 78 is moved down to the regular list.
Would any member wish to remove any of these bills from the consent list? I would ask the reading clerk to read the bills through the enacting clause.
House Bill 28, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Approve depositories for public funds, an act relating to public depositories. House Bill 29, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Deposits by political subdivisions, an act relating to public funds. House Bill 44, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Board of Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors, an act relating to professional engineers and land surveyors. House Bill 52, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Governmental Immunity Cooperative Public Transportation, an act relating to governmental claims. House Bill 65, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Public Safety Communications Reorganization, an act relating to public safety communications. House Bill 75, introduced by Representative Byrd, automatic restoration of the right to vote, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen.
Aye.
Baker, excused. Barlow. Whiteman, Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Bovee,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Clausen,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Court,
aye.
Crank,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Ayer,
aye.
Flitner,
here.
Freeman,
aye.
Furphy,
aye.
Guru,
aye.
Gray,
aye.
Greer, Haley,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Henderson,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kenner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lone,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
McGuire,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim, excused. Miller,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Obermuller,
aye.
Olson, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Ponell,
aye.
Salazar,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Sweeney,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
58 aye, 2 excused. As for House Bill 28, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As for House Bill 29, are there any changes? Steinmetz, aye to no. Henderson, aye to no. Other changes? Oh, Eklund, aye to no. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 excused, or 3 no, 2 excused. As for House Bill 44, are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Salazar, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Edwards, I, Tenneau, Steinmetz. I, Tenneau, Winters. I, Tenneau, Laux. I, Tenneau, Gray. I, Tenneau. Are there other changes? Closing vote. The vote is Flitner, aye. Tenneau, closing vote. The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused. As for House Bill 52, are there any changes? Clem, aye. Tenneau. Larson Lloyd, aye. Tenneau. Northrup, aye. Tenneau. Burkhart, aye. Tenneau. Clausen, aye. Tenneau. Beitman, aye. Tenneau. Allen, aye. Tenneau. McGuire, aye. Tenneau. Steinmetz, aye. Tenneau. Piperinen, aye. Tenneau. Jennings, aye. Tenneau. Edwards, aye. Tenneau. Lone, aye. Tenneau. Greer, aye. Tenneau. Salazar, aye. Tenneau. Winters, aye. Tenneau. Walters, aye. Tenneau. Gray, aye. Tenneau. Olson, aye. Tenneau. Blackburn, aye. Tenneau. Hunt, aye. Tenneau. Lindholm, aye. Tenneau. Ayer, aye. Tenneau. Larson Dan, aye. Tenneau. Are there other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 36 aye, 22 no, 2 excused. As for House Bill 65, are there any changes? Wilson, aye. Tenneau. Burkhart, aye. Tenneau. Beitman, aye. Tenneau. Greer, aye. Tenneau. Walters, aye. Tenneau. Lindholm, aye. Tenneau. Steinmetz, aye. Tenneau. Are there other changes? Northrup, aye. Tenneau. Clem, aye. Tenneau. Ayer, aye. Tenneau. Miller, aye. Tenneau. Larson Dan, aye. Tenneau. Other changes? Hallinan, aye. Tenneau. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 45 aye, 13 no, 2 excused. As for House Bill 75, are there any changes? Clausen, aye. Tenneau. McGuire, aye. Tenneau. Steinmetz, aye. Tenneau. Crank, aye. Tenneau. Allen, aye. Tenneau. Madden, aye. Tenneau. Lone, aye. Tenneau. Edwards, aye. Tenneau. Burkhart, aye. Tenneau. Northrup, aye. Tenneau. Walters, aye. Tenneau. Summers, aye. Tenneau. Gray, aye. Tenneau. Eklund, aye. Tenneau. Mr. Speaker, aye. Tenneau. Are there other changes? Miller, aye. Tenneau. Salazar, aye. Tenneau. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 41 aye, 17 no, 2 excused.
We're at that order of business now. I'm sorry. We're not at that order of business. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 28, 29, 44, 52, 65, and 75 have passed the House. We are now on that order of business of bills on third reading, regular reading, and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 15.
House Bill 15, introduced by Judiciary. Sex Offender Registration Fees and Penalties, an act relating to sex offender registration. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 15 has amendments. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 15, ask for your favorable consideration. So, ladies and gentlemen, while this looks like there's a lot of changes, it actually just does one thing. It flips the fees that are being paid from the ones that are based on time, increments of time, quarterly, et cetera, and flips them to where they're based on whether they change jobs, where they live, or where they work or go to school. Work, where they live, or where they go to school. So we're flipping it because that's actually a change in their life and their status, something that that we should be tracking. So under the current bill, that is not a time when they pay a fee. But they are paying at this quarterly level or whatever. And remember the fees, if you go back into the bill, it's X amount of dollars per time. And so they have no control over what statute says about how often they report. That has to do with the crime and the association of the crime. They do have some level of control over how often they move, how often they change jobs, and how often they change school. And this would be college or whatever. So it's just a flip. And there's some conforming language because we're talking about report to updated information being associated with that, report being that standardization, that quarterly, et cetera, time frame. So while it looks complex, it's just a flip. It's a flip from the incremental times to the actual where there's a change in their status in the community. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Representative Pennell.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I rise in favor of the bill, but against the amendment. You know, in this amendment, it's asking the individuals, the ones that are moving, changing jobs, changing educations, for them to go in and register and notify the authorities of that. They already have to do that. That amendment is only pertaining that there will be a fee attached to that. Mind you, most of those individuals that are moving on a regular basis, moving jobs, those are the ones that usually fall under the incident file. So more than likely there would be no funds developed from that. Because the original bill states, we're not going to charge folks that can't afford to pay it. We're going to allow the folks that can pay it pay these things. You know, bear in mind, this is a bill that is not asking the taxpayer to pay this bill. It's asking the individual that committed the crime to pay the bill. So I would urge your vote no on the amendment. And vote yes on the original bill.
Okay, Representative Clem, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in favor of this amendment. This is actually a welcome change. If you think about it, this actually makes a little sense. So if you have an offender, just as it says, that has a change in their life, or they're changing jobs, they're changing their homes, they're changing their schools, that is information that we want to know about. If they're in the same home for 20 years, why are we making them go every single year to go and pay this thing? I mean, the whole idea is that we're tracking these individuals. And this does give them an amount of control, if you will. There's some incentive to stay in one spot, to work a job and to reform their lives. But the other way is strictly punitive. We're going to fine you for the rest of your life in some cases because of a crime that you've committed. And maybe you paid your debt to society, but you're going to continue to pay your debt. We're going to make sure that we punish you by registering every single year or quarterly or whatever it is, and we're going to make you pay a fine or pay a fee every time you do that. Whereas this way, it actually incentivizes it. So on and for the amendment.
Anyone further? Chairman Greer, for your first time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. I just need to make sure it does what I think it does. And that is instead of charging these periodic fees or paying these fees periodically, depending upon the type of crime, what we're going to say is the person charged with these crimes will pay when they make a decision to move. They change their job, move to a different town, change their location, or if they change, go to school, try to become a productive member of society. So that's my understanding of how this works. I think that is a great improvement to this particular bill. And I say that because it is important that these folks register. I want to know where they are in my community. And so we need to make sure we don't start putting up obstacles or hurdles to prevent them from registering. So we, you know, it's great to say, oh, yeah, we're going to make these folks pay for it and not the taxpayers. Well, these folks are taxpayers, too, now. But the fact is you keep putting up hurdles in front of people, then they're not going to register. Now you're making them a criminal again, and we've got all the costs associated with that. We want them to register. We want to know where they are. This just don't make it difficult to do so.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking for the bill and against the amendment, we've had testimony from back home that this is really a helpful program for law enforcement, for the communities that you're trying to keep safe. This is very valuable. There's no estimate in the amendment of what kind of hit this is going to take to the financing that program. It's about a quarter million dollar a year program, a large part of that going just to the software to run it. So it's a good program. This bill provided a way to sustain that, and the amendment kind of takes the legs out from that way to sustain it, so we're going to be left with a good program that we want, but no way to fund it. For the people that can't pay, the indigency part is a very important component of it. That would be determined by rule, probably be set at 1 to 200% of the poverty level is where they speculate that would be put. So. This amendment is also hard on that group that moves a lot, which is at the lowest end of the ability to pay people. You know, maybe they're even living in their cars, but now every time you move, you're going to have to show up, report, and pay. And under the existing system in the bill, that wouldn't be the case. So for the bill, against the amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, but reserving a second mostly.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the amendment, still generally against the bill. I'm not arguing. This is a great program, and it was a great program. We had federal grants, and the government paid for it. The federal money dried up, and the state seems unwilling to cover it, and so we're going to put it on the backs of a certain class of people. And I understand we can do that when they're user fees, but this isn't quite a user fee in the same sense of the term when we're mandating, you know, the fee on these people. And I guess what concerned me about the former speaker, chairman of the committee that oversaw this bill was that we don't even have the number set of who is going to be, what the level is on who's declared indigent. They speculate it may be between 100 or 200% of poverty level. And once again, I'd remind you that we're letting the agency who is covering the cost of this program decide who's indigent and who's not and whether they have to pay or whether they don't, which just seems crazy to me, really. I can't think of a better term right now. And it's probably too late at this point to set the actual requirements or sideboards of what, you know, that level would be for someone to be declared indigent or not, but it does, worry me that the people get to set, the people who get the money get a say on what level that is without the legislature's approval. And it does still bother me that we're putting this on one group of people, and I would continue to contend that we're shooting ourselves in the foot because this may, in fact, backfire on us where people do not register when they move or don't want to pay these fees. And then they end up back in the court system, and it'll cost the state government more money in the long run. We just, you know, won't see the effects as vibrant It'll be buried in the budget somewhere of an agency, the court costs and the imprisonment costs, et cetera. So I would ask you to remind that. Vote for the amendment makes the bill slightly better, but still against the bill at this point.
For your first time, Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment.
For your first time, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On in favor of the bill and against the amendment, although I think if the amendment is what is required to get the bill passed, I think that's better than nothing. But let me address a few things that I believe are at least being misrepresented, maybe not intentionally, but maybe because folks just aren't really sure how this is working. Number one, the indigency status is not up in the air and an unknown. It's actually, I believe it's 140 or 150%. And you can almost guarantee it's going to be set at that level. Why? Because the Department of Corrections is setting it no differently than your public defender's office sets the fee. Number two, there was a concern raised about the agency being the one who sets the indigency waiver. Well, that's exactly how it works in the public defender's office. When you hire a public defender, whether you qualify for that $250 waiver for the services, same thing. The department sets it. And what I can tell you as a practicing lawyer is that in almost every case, at the end of, in talking about a criminal case, when we get to the end, the public defender's office almost always waives the fee, even without the indigency application. It's a common practice. And so we ask ourselves, why do they do that? And prosecutors around the state are often asking, why do they do that? And, you know, maybe this is something legislature will take up at some point. But the point is that they almost shoot themselves in the foot when they do it. But it's because that department is geared at its goal, and its goal is representing those clients. It's not about making money. You know, DCI has just as much of an interest in making sure that these folks report and that we know where they live. The purpose of this bill is not to force them away from the county sheriff's office where they're going to report. It's to help cover the costs of the reporting. So I would urge the body not to buy into that red herring that we're putting roadblocks in front of these folks. That's just not true. In the statute, if they fail to report a major change in their life, such as a move or a change in job, they face a felony. We're talking about $100 that they have to pay. If you think for 1 minute that an individual is going to weigh a felony and incarceration against a $100 fee and say, my golly, I'm not going in to pay my $100 fee, you're kidding yourself. That's a red herring, folks. Don't buy into that. What we're asking these folks to do is pay for the services that are required to keep tabs on them after they get out of the prison system. It's not a whole lot different than what happens in the DUI world and the drug world. The state doesn't pick up the bill for all of the tests in those scenarios either. If an individual does not qualify for indigency, they pay for counseling, they pay for the drug tests, they pay for it all. It's no different here. It's not a lifetime punishment. We do this in all other areas of correction. So I urge you to vote down the amendment because it is a significant loss of money to the states and counties who have to administer this program. What you are weighing is whether you as a state put this entirely on the backs of the taxpayers, or you believe that the individuals who can afford it ought to pay for it. And if they can't afford it, they're going to qualify for indigency just like every other individual going through drug courts or DUI situations. So I urge you to vote down the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Any other member for their first time? Okay, moving on to second time. Any members for their second time? Before the sponsor. Any member before the sponsor? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sometimes in here I feel weird because I have to remind people sometimes what it's like to be poor and what people who are making minimum wage and in these situations, because a lot of them worked for a company. And these are people who would skip their drug tests or their court-ordered things because they didn't have the money to just go pay that week. And they would actually run the risk of the $80 or whatever it was, sometimes more, for their drug tests, simply because they didn't have the funds to do it, and they're certainly not going to run down to the county and ask for an indigency waiver. They'll get one sometimes after the fact, I would think, when they miss it and they get hauled back into court, and then we're spending time in the court, and then they get declared indigent, and that's a cost of the government. But there are lots of people who, you know, will buy insurance. We see this in corporations all the time. Then they can't afford it, and they'll run that risk. And I know it seems antithetical that they would chance a missed a felony for simply not paying it, but these people in these situations, they do that. And I would argue that people in this situation, you know, even after getting out of incarceration, or they have a lifelong struggle, and it's not that it's not deserved, because it is. But they're also a very difficult population that, you know, has difficulty finding jobs, and they move frequently. And I just think eventually they're going to, you know, they're going to miss an appointment, they're going to miss a registration, and it costs the government actually more to enforce some of these things than if we didn't put it on their backs to begin with. So, thank you.
Representative Clem, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, what are we trying to accomplish with this? I guess that's the policy question. Why do we make these folks register? Well, we make them register so we can know where they're at. That's the whole point. So what is the point of making a person register every year or quarterly if there are no changes in status? Seems like a whole lot of waste and expense to the government. And now what we're saying in this bill is we want to continue that current practice, but now we're just going to make these other people pay for it. And to some extent, I think it's right that they go ahead and pay to register. But I think it's overkill when we say we just want to continue down the same old road, and we're going to make them, regardless of their change of status, we're going to make them register yearly or, you know, quarterly or whatever it is. And the policy change really is we're saying in this bill, we just want to know where you're at and if you have a change of status. And as it was mentioned just a moment ago, they have to report a change of status anyway. And so, you know, that's what we really want to know. We want to know where these folks are at for the protection of society. And so I welcome this change. I think it's prudent. Let's quit with the waste. Why are we making them come back over and over and over again? You change a job, you move, you go to school somewhere, then we want to know. Otherwise, live your life. Settle down. Work a job. We want to welcome you back into society if you're willing to do those things. And so let's encourage that, not put up roadblocks. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I guess I'm just not all that bright and just from the hills. And so with my esteemed colleague, you know, the attorney from House District 11's getting a little more sophistication than I do. So I just got some questions on some things with this as we're rolling through that. Is if, you know, they're saying that the fee's waived by the public defender's office most of the time anyway, but why doesn't this language say may instead of shall? Wouldn't that be a little better approach to it? You know, when we talk about it being a felony if you don't go and register, yeah, that's true. But you look at this bill on page 9, and we say, well, if somebody comes in and they willfully fail to pay their fee, so they're there to register. So the question is, do they have to accept their registration if it doesn't have a check? Okay. So how's that work? So show up, says, I'm going to register, fill out my paperwork, but I'm not going to pay the fine. Or the fee, excuse me. So now we've went ahead and made them another crime, which is akin to a debtor's crime, because we're going to make it a misdemeanor for it. So I'm just looking at some of this. It just doesn't make sense to me. Why are we going about doing it this way? So just think about that. I like the amendment that has been brought forward. I'm still considering the bill overall. Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Pownell.
Mr. Speaker, in answer to one of the questions, being a waste of time and get on with their lives, this is already in statute. They have to go in at certain times to register. That's already required. The issue is that it is a cost, and that's being taken care of due to a grant. But that grant's running out. That money's going away. So I'll be brief. You know, the organization, they're being proactive, not reactive. They're not going to put this burden on the taxpayer. They want the burden of this to be on the offender. Bear in mind, the offender, we didn't ask him to commit the crime. And this is not a lifelong sentence, because some of those, the term of that registration ends at different periods of times, up 10 years, some less than that, and some more. So let's remember, this is the offender that's paying it, not the taxpayer. Thank you.
Anyone else? Their second time before the sponsor, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we've heard a lot of good discussion. I want to focus us back on what the issue is here. This is not about the reporting. This does nothing to change the reporting timeline. This only has to do with when the offender, the person who is reporting, pays the fees that are outlined in the bill. My proposal, the proposal before you in this amendment, flips it from the statutory timelines, i.e. quarterly, etc., and puts it onto the change of residence, change of employment, or change of educational components. Those are things that the offender has some control over. We have control over, and actually we have, or some of that comes down from the federal oversight, have control over those other time frames. So this is a flip. There was talked about waiving fees and another component. Well, I've written so many times on this paper I can't see what page number. Anyway, there's a shall collect the fees, which infers that the offender shall pay the fees. Folks, we talked about whether you are indigent, you would not be, you're not required to pay the fees. At what point do the fees actually push you into becoming an indigent? If you're paying quarterly, etc. You heard testimony about these folks are not working maybe at the same wage scale as the average in our state. So finally, this changes nothing about the program, changes nothing about the seriousness of the crime, changes nothing about the public's interest in keeping those folks, track of those folks. This is about funding the program. Now, my understanding from the committee of the whole testimony was, we've actually got some time. If this bill doesn't go forward, which I'm supportive of the bill with this amendment, and actually if you look at the next amendment, when you start talking about dollars, I would argue it might have as much or more significance than that, but that's for the next discussion. So I would ask you to vote favorably of the amendment, and then certainly the bill in its entirety, I'll leave that to the will of each of us. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask for your favorable consideration of third reading amendment number one. Thank you.
Thank you. We are voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. House Bill, third reading amendment number one to House Bill 15 has passed. We are now on third reading amendment number two. Representative Pownell.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I would urge the passing of House Bill 15, Amendment Number 2, I would move it, please. And to further, I would like to explain it. So what this amendment does is that it basically, in the preceding amendment, it actually would lower the folks that are moving, changing their address, going to a different education, going to a new job. This would actually lower the cost to them. This would, it goes to a maximum of $31.25, but basically, they can set it to where, whatever limit that needs to be, but no more than that. Also, the initial fee would be, you know, in page 3, line 9, it would delete $80 and insert $120. And then on page 3 after line 11, paragraph II, it would state each year the offender is required to report under this applicable provisions of subsections G through J of this section. The offender shall pay a state a reporting fee in the amount not to exceed $80 and a county reporting fee in the amount equal to 25% of the state reporting fees. So actually they're only those that are not moving, changing jobs, doing things like that. They would still be assisting and paying for the registration fee, but they would just pay a one-time fee once a year when they go in. So, and the of course on the top part it would be a small increase. And here again, it's that's the maximum. It can't go any higher than that. It could be less. So, I would urge your support on this. It would fit in to the last amendment that was just passed. So, any questions?
Anyone else for their first time? On third reading amendment number 2, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, working one amendment into a previous amendment can be challenging, but as folks are reviewing this and as the sponsor hopefully has a little time and people make sure that it looks to me like we're now going back to an annual plus the move and the school and the work changes. So there'd be an annual plus those other things. And if I'm misunderstanding what's being accomplished here, please correct me. The lowering on the bottom, I would be very supportive of. The upper part, I'm less supportive. In fact, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to divide the amendment. I'd like to divide it on between line 14 and 15. I'd like to division 1 to be line 15 and below, and I'd like division 2 to be lines 14 and above. And Mr. Chairman, I guess Mr. Speaker, just to be complete, I think line 20 would have to go with the division 2. Mr. Speaker.
Go ahead, Chairman Barlow. I want to make sure here. I think it is divisible.
And Mr. Speaker, I would further ask to divide it to a division 3, which is lines 1 through 3.
So your proposal, Chairman, I'll restate, is lines 15 through 19 is division 1, lines 4 through 14, and also including line 20 is division 2, and then division 3 are lines 1 through 3.
Mr. Speaker, affirmative.
Okay, I'm going to rule that that is divisible. We're on division number 1. Debate rules apply. For your first time, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of division 1.
Anyone else for their first time in Division 1? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to make sure what Division 1 was again. Is that I want to...
Lines 15 through 19.
15 through 19. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll just say on and in favor of that as well.
Anyone else first time for Division Number 1? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Division number 1 has been adopted. We are now on division number 2. Anyone for their first time? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Division 2, this is where we get into a little bit of a little more challenging circumstance, because as you recall, the last amendment, Amendment Number 1 that was adopted, flip some things. And some of those things are in this amendment, and some of them things are out of this amendment, but it is talking about an each year. So while I think I understand the intent of what the bringer is doing, there's a little bit of clarity that still needs to be understood in that range, in the range of G through J. So when the bringer of the amendment is able to come back up, maybe he can elucidate what G through J does in context of the Amendment Number 1 that was passed. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, Representative, for your first time on Division 2, Representative Pownell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On G through J, let me find my notes here. What that does, basically, I guess the question would be what it does in, I guess I'm a little lost, but what it would do, it would eliminate, it basically would make that, in this amendment, it would make it a one-time fee instead of being broken up into different times, like there's quarterly, semi-annually, and then annually. So basically what that amendment, what we've tried to do is eliminate those quarterly payments of the amount that was in the original bill and put those back in place to where they would be one-time payment. Once a year, when they and obviously I'm not sure if that answers your question, but if it didn't, please ask again. But I am going to I'm going to stand opposed to the I'm in favor of this amendment. I'll just say that. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 2, Representative Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of Division 2. I think it. You should know that this amendment as a whole was drafted in contemplation of passing the last amendment. So its intent is to incorporate itself into the language of what you just passed. And this really is a compromising position. So under the original bill, one thing that appeared problematic to this body was that when an individual moved, if they moved multiple times in a year or changed jobs multiple times in a year, they would need to go in, report, and pay. And that could be three times, it could be half a dozen times or a dozen times. And I think the will of the body moved away from that excessive penalty. And so this Division 2 is an attempt to compromise that. And so in lumping sections G through J together, what we're saying is every time you have that major change in life, you still report it under state law. You still have to report it, but we're not requiring you to pay those fees every single time. And so in an attempt to try to capture the lost income, Division 2 now says you're just going to pay once in a year period, regardless of how many changes you have. And so I hope the body can see this as a compromising position, that maybe it is true, and the body has very well expressed its will that the fees could have been highly excessive on lower class citizens, and I don't dispute that at all. And I think this is a way to try to capture again some of the money to offset the cost that we should all be aware of. On and for Division 2. Thank you.
For your first time on Division 2, Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against Division 2.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to make sure I understand what we're doing here. And maybe one of these guys can help me better understand. But in the last amendment we adopted, not in this amendment, but the previous amendment, where we says that they're only going to have to report and pay when there's a significant event in their life, move or whatever. I have it in my mind that those are the only times that they'll have to make the come in and register and pay. This amendment, too, on this standing committee amendment, or on this third reading amendment, says that it is now making a requirement that each year, irregardless, they're going to have to come in and register and pay. And if that's the case, if somebody could clarify and make sure that I'm reading that right, that would help me.
Anyone else, first time? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I appreciate that it's an attempt at a compromise. I'm not sure it is. But here's a quirky thing that I guess I just want a confirmation of. Without the last amendment, how this bill started, what we would do now, people have to register quarterly, every 6 months or every year. So, and the ones who register yearly are usually the lower level, you know, not the ones we have to keep that much track of. I mean, the people who are doing everything right and didn't commit that harsh of a crime. This actually gives them a little bit bigger burden than the bill originally contemplated on those people who are, I shouldn't say doing everything right, but are the least observable. The ones we trust, I guess, or the ones who didn't commit that much of a crime. This actually makes them pay even more than the original bill contemplated, but it does, I guess, take care of my concern about the people that are registering every 3 months and that we have to keep closer track of. And I can appreciate it, but I still think it's just a little quirky, and I just want someone to confirm that to me, that this still puts a little bit more onerous on the low-level people who are doing everything right.
Anyone else? Division 2, first time. Representative Clint.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if I see this as a compromise. My understanding from the last amendment that we passed is that they'll pay if they have a change in status. However, what we're doing here now is in saying, in addition to that, you're going to pay this fee now too, of up to $80 every single year. And so it seems that we're putting, again, more of a burden on these folks. So I would urge your no vote on division number 2.
Anyone else for their first time on division number 2? Second time. Anyone for their second time? Representative Pownell.
Mr. Speaker, in answer to the, I guess the one question would be that, this is a one-time fee. It's not carried over where it's quarterly, semi-annually, or annually. It's just a one-time fee. So those other fees that were in the original bill, obviously, we're not asking for that. And so I look at it as a compromise. We're only asking for a one-time fee. And these folks, they come in and register, and they have to register. So I believe it's a compromise, and I would urge your I vote on this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time, Division 2? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This will be brief. I guess when I look at the language, based on what I just heard, it says, the new language, line 6, says each year. That sounds to me like an annual fee. Each year. So I'm not sure. I just want to clarify that everybody's reading the same thing in this. That says each year. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question having been called, we're voting on division number 2, third read amendment number 2 to House Bill 15. All those in favor of the division say aye.
Aye.
Oppose?
No.
Division number 2 is passed. Division being called. All those who voted aye, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. 32. Division number two has failed. We are now on division number three. Any member for their first time on division number three, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And referring back to the bill, I would actually be amenable to division number three. This is talking about the initial registration. So this is someone who, the first time, whether they move from out of state or they move, come out of incarceration, this is the first time. So as I guess we liked compromise or compromising positions, I would say that this is a compromise to raise some more, a few dollars on the initial, and I would be a supportive. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else? Chairman Kirkbride.
Mr. Speaker, speaking on and for Division 3, we gave back some money with Division 1, and justifiably so, to the people that could least afford it. Now here's our chance to get a little of that back and better fund a program, which we all deem is a very good program and something we want for the state.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and for Division 3. And I would note that this speaks to the concern previous debate regarding potential for our state becoming a sanctuary state. So on and four.
Any other member for your first time, for your second time? Question having been called, we're voting on division number three on third reading amendment number two to House Bill 15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number three has been adopted. Third reading amendment number two, division three, has been adopted. House Bill 15, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker. Excused. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake.
No.
Bovey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
No.
Giroux.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim. Excused. Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Pieperinen.
No.
Ponnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Clem. No to aye. Greer. Aye to no. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 38 aye. 20 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 15, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 15 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 78. We have an amendment. Representative Steinman, or excuse me, we need to read the bill. Reading clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 78, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, Salvage Title Updates, an act relating to motor vehicle certificates of title. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Thank you, Madam Reading Clerk. We have an amendment. Representative Steinman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The good lady who deals with these things in my neck of the woods had some questions, but I think they're answered, so I'm deleting my amendment. Thank you. Withdrawing. I'm sorry.
Okay. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 78 has been withdrawn. House Bill 78, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker, excused. Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux. Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim, excused. Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Punnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 50 aye, 2 excused. Or 58 aye, 2 excused.
House Bill 78, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 78 has passed the House. We are on that order of business of reconsideration of bills. Representative Obermuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having voted on the prevailing side of House Bill 77, I move to reconsider the third reading vote on House Bill 77.
Members, this is a procedural vote. Rule 1211 does not require a second, and there is no debate. The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Allen. No. Baker, excused. Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
No.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
No.
Clem. Clem. No. Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
No.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
No. Greer. No. Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan. No. Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone. No. Laux.
No.
No. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim. Excused. Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 36 aye, 22 no, 2 excused.
We will now move to the vote on House Bill 77. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker excused. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. No. Blackburn. Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Bovey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
No.
No. Clem.
No.
No. Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
No.
No. Crank.
No.
No. Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards. Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
No.
No. Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
No.
No. Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
No. Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim. Excused. Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
No. Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
No. Wilson.
No.
No. Winters.
No.
No. Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 33 aye, 25 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 77, having received an affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 77 has passed the House. We are now on that order of business of bills on consideration on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for consideration of the following bills. The first bill on the list, the blue sheet that should be in your inbox, is going to be moved down to below House Bill 130. So move House Bill 58 to below House Bill 130. The first five bills that will be up will be House Bill 76, House Bill 86, House Bill 113, House Bill 121, and House Bill 130.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The motion is passed. Representative Bovee.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill, number 58, no? Where is it?
He moved it down.
Okay, that's what I didn't hear. Okay, and this is what I need. Okay, I need Minority Leader Conley to come to the floor because I quit.
All right. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 76. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 76, introduced by Representative Allen, American Indian Education Program, an act relating to public education. Madam Chairman, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 76, American Indian Education Program, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Wilson. Noes, Representatives Burkhart and Walters. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Okay. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with recommendation that House Bill number 76 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and here with the explanation is the Chair of TRW.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. What I'd like to do with your permission is speak to the amendment first. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 76.
Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
So this amendment actually cleans up the bill quite a bit, makes it a little bit more clear, and it was brought to us by the department, and it's gone through two committee reviews. So if you look to the bill, all it does is it adds the word history in the appropriate places. You can follow it down. And then when it gets to Section 2, it deletes that entirely. And the reason for that is because it was redundant. The Section 1 dealt with that. It directed the department to make those resources available. So I would like to call for the vote on the amendment.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. All right. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So the history of this bill goes way back, at least 10 years. The districts in the county in which I live that starts with a capital F have been, this is something that is wanted by the school districts in our county, and we have plenty of them, and we have three within the boundaries of the reservation. And so it's a pretty simple bill, really. It just mandates that the state board and the department review and evaluate the social studies standards, and if this bill passes, and then incorporate the history, the heritage, and the the contemporary contributions of tribal history, culture, and all of that stuff into the social studies standards. And so there's a lot of really good benefits from this. There are other amendments coming that will actually make this better. I won't speak to those, but at any rate, it's a pretty simple bill. It just gets the the teachers in here are really going to speak to this a lot better than I can, but it's a good bill. And the if you look on your desk on the left side there, there is a thing from PBS. It's in bold letters. It's called House Bill 76, American Indian Education Program. And what that does is it shows the materials that are already up on the department, or excuse me, the PBS website. And that deals with the videos that PBS did. That was funded by this legislature back in 2014. Those videos are complete, they're up, and they're a great resource. There are also lesson plans between 3 and 5 hours up there to go with those videos. So that material actually already exists. Some of the districts are already using that. In fact, I've heard testimony from the department that about half the districts in the state already teach American Indian history, and that these districts typically take the lessons or the materials from other districts and incorporate them into those their districts. But the material that's available now actually is fairly broad. And what this bill does is it distills it down specifically, with particular emphasis on our tribes, which are the Eastern Shoshone and Northern Arapaho. So it's a good bill, and I'm just going to stand back and let other people speak on the bill. Thank you.
Representative Bovee.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to speak in support of this bill. Usually when somebody has a proposition that says, let's add this to the curriculum, what it means is filling teachers' plates more and watering down what we can deliver to kids. But that's not the case with this bill. There are already three standards in our social studies curriculum that partially address what's being called for here. So what they're asking to be added actually just enriches the curriculum for our students and provides for a better education for them. I think what they have recommended has been very thoughtful. The materials are not required for teachers because we're not mandating curriculum. But if they choose to choose them, the materials are available there to make for an enriched curriculum. So I encourage you to vote yes.
Okay. All right. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just share with the body that this has been a process that's been going on for about 3 years between the department that oversees education in the state and in that select committee that overlooks tribal relations, and as well as with the leaders and of both of the established tribes in the state. It's been interesting to hear testimony from educators around the state that say we're very interested in being able to teach the history and the contributions of the two tribes in this state, but we don't know where to go to get information. We don't know how to make it accurate. We don't know if what we're saying is complimentary or offensive to the cultural ideals that they have. And so we've worked very hard to try and incorporate and have stepped back a couple of different times because we didn't have it right or and had not included input from the tribal committees on one occasion and didn't have it fit right to go into the education component another time. It's something that the department that oversees education in our state feels has been lacking and is supporting. We think that this is... If you talk about the treaties, to understand the treaties that took place for the Shoshone tribe long before we as a state, how has that impacted the state and what's the impact on the state now with that treaty and how has it affected the tribes and their contributions? What's the purpose of the various cultural activities that they have and what does it mean to them when we have to have input from the tribes on environmental impact statements to look at various areas. Why is that necessary and what is the significance of that? We want the people of the state to understand the impact that and contributions that the state has had, that the tribes have had on the state and the impacts that the state has had on the tribes. I think it's a great bill and I'd really encourage you to support it.
There's a committee of the whole amendment, a corrected copy. Representative Waters.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. At this time, I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 76, and we are working off the corrected copy. And with that, I would first like to start off by dividing the amendment. So lines 1 through 16 would be Division 1. Lines 17 through 20, Division 2. And lines 21 through 30, Division 3. So again, that is 1 through 16 is Division 1, 17 through 20, Division 2, and 21 to 30, or the end of it, is Division 3. And I would just start with Division 1, and we'll work our way through the amendment if that's amenable to the chair.
All right. I offer a second, Mr. Walters, and let me... The chair rules that it's divisible.
Thank you. May I proceed, Madam Minority Floor Leader?
Okay.
So in Division 1, all I'm doing is deleting all of the findings. In our legislation and legislative crafting, we just don't include legislative findings, and so I just don't think we want to put it in there. It's not that I disagree with anything that's being said. It's just more of a statutory construction policy and something we haven't done in the past. And so that's what I've done with Division 1 is delete those legislative findings.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think that's a friendly amendment.
Okay. Question being called on Division 1 of the Committee of the Whole Amendment 1 on House Bill 76. Please say aye.
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 Those opposed, no?
No.
The ayes have it.
Thank you, Madam.
Division 2?
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. Moving on to Division 2. In this section, we say we're going to in cooperation with, and then later in the paragraph with particular emphasis on the two tribes, and I just think it's redundant, and so all I've done is taken out the in cooperation with and left the emphasis on, because, you know, there's a lot of Native American history in Wyoming. It just happens that we ended up with two tribes in the state of Wyoming when they created the reservations years ago, but prior to that, we had many, many more tribes living on these great lands here within the state, and so I'd just like to have this education be based on all of those tribes with the emphasis on the ones that ended up remaining in the state of Wyoming. So I still think we get the importance of those tribes and the important impact that those tribes have made on the history of our state, but we also get to have that broad basis of all the tribes that roam this great land, and so that's why I've suggested that amendment.
Representative Larson.
Madam Chairman, really no objection to the amendment, but I would just perhaps suggest that we didn't end up with two tribes. I think perhaps they ended up with us.
Anyone else? Anyone again? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I would just stand in favor of this. I think that the in cooperation with is a vital component to this particular bill. And when we heard the testimony on this particular bill from the two tribes, I think it's crucially important that we are in consultation with them throughout this. Now, I understand the redundancy part, and I somewhat agree, but I think striking that in consultation with is I'm not in favor of that, and I would ask the body to vote in favor of this this particular amendment, or vote against this particular amendment.
Just to be clear, Representative Brown, you're against Division 2. Okay.
Against Division 2. Thank you, madam.
Anyone else? All right. Question being called on Division 2 of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 76. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, the
noes
have it. Moving on to Division 3.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. Division 3, we're talking on page 3 now in Section C of the bill. Here we're saying the department shall subject to the approval of these two tribes. And I just don't think it's a good precedent to say that we're going to subject what the content that we're teaching to an individual group like this. And so, you know, if the department comes up with good quality information and then the tribes and those folks decide they don't like it, or the tribes can't, there's two tribes that we're discussing, and if one tribe likes it and the other one doesn't, now the department can't put the information out. And so what I've done is say take out the part subject to their approval, but still have the emphasis on what the two tribes have contributed to this great state. I just, that subject to just really bothers me, and so that's why I've asked to delete that.
Thank you, Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would resist, I would urge the body to resist that. And part of I understand where the author is going with this, and let me just back up. This has been a process with both tribes, an ongoing, long-standing process. There is absolutely no way that this state of Wyoming is going to move forward and tell the story of the tribes. They have to tell their own story. So this is a team, a joint effort, so that we can get this story told and tell the students of the state what their contributions are and what their history is and all that stuff. I think where we are here is just sort of a matter of semantics, and there is a second reading amendment to deal with this on page 3, line 4, and I don't know whether it's proper to say what that would be now or hold it for later. Probably better hold it. Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, keep us in suspense.
Okay. So anyway, I would resist this. I would urge the body to resist this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. On in favor of this division, I'd urge the body to support this amendment. The bringer of the amendment is absolutely correct. We don't want to bind the hands of our Department of Education. What happens if a situation arises where those tribes aren't able to approve in enough time? Do we buy in the classrooms at that point? We don't do this in any other area, waiting on the approval of any other organization. We let our Wyoming Department of Education do their job, and with this division, we let them do their job.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd just like to give you a little history to kind of illustrate why perhaps that language is in there. Is when that select committee we have that deals with tribal relations was working on this, we had assigned that department that oversees education in the state to start working on developing a program like this. Well, they came back sometime later, and they were supposed to engage in this collaborative agreement with the members of the tribe. And so when they come back to report, they was feeling warm and fuzzy about the progress that they had made, and then we had the tribal leaders raise their hand and say, we didn't have any involvement. We don't know that this information and this effort's even applicable to either tribe. And so we had to back up and kind of lick our wounds a little bit and say, sorry, I mean, if this is your history, we ought to probably have some stamp of approval from you on it. And so the concern about being able to get the tribes to sign off on and participate in being part of that, we have to remember that it's the Shoshone history, one component. That tribe would approve that. The Arapaho history would be approved by the Arapaho tribe. I think I don't know that I would. It's kind of like at the Larson home, inviting people home for supper. That's always subject to Mrs. Larson's approval. And I know that when I have deviated from that, it's kind of caused me a little bit of grief at some time. So I'd reject this as well and think that there's some legitimate rationale for allowing them to approve their history in saying that it's correct.
Okay, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I taught history and government for 32 years, actually 33 years. And I love teaching history because we talked about the process and what really is history. And a quick summary is it usually is the winners write the history. I particularly like to teach Native American history, and I did quite a bit of that. And when I brought up different things that had different histories, I always like to start out my class with all historians, and my students would shout out lie, and then I go particularly, and then they would point to me and say you. And then what I did is I presented two or three different kinds of histories of a singular event, and I said, okay, what is the real history? If we're going to teach Native American history, we should allow them to write their history. And then that doesn't mean you're limited to that. You can bring something else up. But I think that we should allow them to write their history and approve it before. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I would just urge the body to vote against this particular amendment. There's been a lot of discussion just back here in the back corner, and I think we recognize the tying of the hands for the department that handles education, and we don't want to do that. So we can definitely fix this in second reading with a decent amendment, and we've actually got some language ready to go. But I would just urge the body to vote against this amendment.
Okay. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. I, too, urge you to vote no on Division 3. There's already been great collaboration through the Select Tribal Committee meetings we've had, through the television that broadcasts in the Center State Public Education. There's been great strides made, so please vote no on Division 3. Thank you.
Okay. All right, anyone else on Division 3? Okay. Representative Waters.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. Just a little pushback. You know, this is all about, we're saying this is subject to the approval of these tribes, and that's just very concerning to me. I still think that if we delete this, we still have the ability, the department still has the ability to work with the tribes to make sure the tribes have plenty of input in what this material includes. And so it's just this subject to their approval, and I don't think we should be going down the road of telling the department who they can get approval from or who they must get approval from before they put out material that we really think is good material and should be out there. And so I would really ask for your support on this and urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else on Division 3? Question? All right. Question being called on Division 3 of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 76. Please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The noes have it. We're back on the bill. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. On and for the bill, just 2 points. I taught U.S. history and geography for 7 years at a private school and put together my own curriculum on this issue because it wasn't available, and And that was a lot of fun, but also a fair amount of work, so I think this provides a great resource for the teachers. The other thing that I just want to point out, because I know that there's some concern about, as the previous speaker pointed out, adding more things to the day, to the requirements, and we don't want to do that. But referring back to my first term, my first year in the House, I spent a lot of time trying to get people excited over improving our social studies standards. Because I have to say, frankly, our standards are so vague that the insertion of this requirement will not create a burden to anyone. So I just want to share, you probably don't have any much knowledge or opinion about this subject, but most of you have an idea of what we ought to be teaching our kids about the Constitution. So I'm just going to let you know that upon graduation, our standard says only the following. Analyze the historical development of the United States Constitution and treaties and how it has shaped the United States and Wyoming government, tribal, local, state, federal. That's it. It doesn't say how many months, how many years, how many weeks. It doesn't say you need to know who James Madison is. It doesn't say that you need to have read the Federalist Papers. It doesn't say anything about the Bill of Rights or how court cases have directed our understanding of the Constitution or anything. So I realize this is sort of a backhanded way of approving this bill, but I don't think we need to worry at all that this will place a burden on anyone because, frankly, the standards don't place a burden on anyone.
Thank you. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Now that we've got these, what's left of the Committee of the Whole and the Standing Committee amendments all taken care of, and going back to what the sponsor said a little bit ago, that I think he said over half of the school districts already do this, am I wrong in saying that the only thing this bill does at the end of the day is change an option to a requirement? In other words, if this passes, then every school district will be mandated to incorporate this. And right now we have an option to incorporate it.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So what, yeah, correct. To address this previous speaker, that is right. They do, half of the districts do kind of do work on this or teach it, or whatever, present it. But the problem is they don't have materials that are listed. And so what this bill will do, if it's passed, is it will require the board to review and evaluate the current social studies standards and see where they need to be bolstered and then make that material available on the department's website. At that time, the school districts can choose to use that new, fresh material, the more thorough and exhaustive material, after these reviews are done, or they can make up their own. But what it will do is it will require the other 50% of the schools to incorporate American Indian history and education into their social studies standards.
Thank you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. You know, folks, so we had a bill here. You know, the coursework for this has already been funded. It was funded by you or your predecessors right here in the House. The videos are all out there. The lesson plans have been developed. You know, that's all in the handout if you took a look at that. You know, they're going to look at what is the Wind River Reservation, who are the Eastern Shoshone, who are the Northern Arapaho, how's their tribal government work, and looking at their preserving their culture and tradition. That's all videos online right now. You can watch them. I've watched a few of them. And frankly, the teachers have all the resources they need. It's not going to take any money whatsoever to implement this. It's just that the teachers across the state can have a little bit of Indian culture inserted into their classroom. It's not going to take a lot of time. And frankly, you know, it's even like the reception they have for the legislators here. It's something they're kind of wondering whether it's useful or not. I advised them that, you know, a lot of folks down here in Cheyenne, that's their only interaction with the reservation. So I thought it was an important event. So this kind of follows in that same tradition there.
Representative Ayer.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I would like to stand and oppose this bill. I hope that every school district in the state develops educational programs addressing the cultural and all the contributions that our Native American tribes have made, and especially the contributions from the two tribes that we have a large, relatively large population of in our state. However, I think we should resist any mandate imposed on local districts. I think those decisions should be made best at the lower level of government, and that we shouldn't impose standards statewide, but let local districts make their own decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And kind of going back to my good friend from the Valley of Mr. Bridger and to the good chairman from the land of the bison, we need to remember that the state would the department, the state board would address the standards and how this component would fit into the standards, and then it's up to the districts locally to develop their curriculum and how that curriculum would meet the standards. Now, to say that we want to allow everything to be done locally, then we should perhaps go back and say we don't want to have any requirements to teach English or math or reading, and just let that be a local decision. And I get the local thing, but we know that we have to have some state standards. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Northrup's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 76 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no?
No.
House Bill 76 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. I move the House stand in recess until 2:10.
Minority Floor Leader?
Oops, sorry. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your Corporations Committee Number 7 will meet immediately. We're going to meet in H-37 because somehow we had a scheduling conflict. So we're going to hear all six election bills as soon as we have a quorum in the room.
Okay.
All six.
All right.
Madam Chairman.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you. Your committee, Education Number 4, has an informational meeting today upon adjournment at noon in L-54. And also the committee will be hearing upon adjournment tonight House Bill 190, House Bill 191, and House Bill 194, school. Oops, I'm a day late. Thank you. That's done.
Thank you. Representative Kirk Pry.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will be meeting in 10 minutes in Jonah Room H-38 to discuss three bills, House Bill 206, Asset Forfeiture, House Bill 188, District Court Filing Fees 2, and House Bill 72, Volunteer Health Care.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, Chairman Madden, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Revenue will be meeting tomorrow, that's Friday, January 27, at 7:30 in the morning. And we're going to discuss House Bill 180, 170, 220, 213, and House Bill 242.
Thank you. Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Transportation will be meeting upon adjournment to study House Bill 74, House Bill 128, and 176.
Thank you. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 6, travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30, not 8, in room H-38 to consider House Bill 229, Game Animal Hunt Consultation Services, House Bill 214, Game and Fish Pioneer Lifetime License, and House Bill 187, Total Solar Eclipse Day.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Seeing no one else moving to the mic, remember we'll be in recess till 2:10.